This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just did my five All-Star game votes. Like I did my, I voted five times.
You can vote up to five times per day.
I just did it.
Padres.com.
It's the Jackson Merrill effect. Got me.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Hi, Jackson.
Did you vote for him all five times?
I did one ballot, like filled everything on, then you could just
click. You don't
times.
Have to go all the way through it five
no,
different
God,
times.
No, God, no. Because that would be. Surprise.
Split your ticket and
do you miss the ballots at the games?
The little punchies?
I did like them when I was a kid.
I liked them when I was a kid, but I also realized it's 2024
I know.
And if there's no need to do it.
Did they really count all of those back
there's
then?
There's no effing way. There's no way.
They're like, have a big Scantron machine in the back.
Remember you poke it and you have to flip it over and like make sure because you don't want it to
hang in Chads.
Yeah, hanging Chads. That's what those are called.
Hanging right ends on the bottom.
Yeah, right ends on the bottom. I did like them when I was a kid, but I'm
I loved them.
I'm kind of glad they're gone. Well, at least I understand why they're gone. Because you can do it online.
And you know, back when I was a kid, there weren't that many people at Padres games, so the ushers would have tons of them. He'd just give me like 50 of them, and I just sit there all the game. Dad, you got keys, and like Dad wouldn't have a pen, so he'd like try to give me his keys,
key,
but
yes.
They didn't quite work. They weren't sharp enough to just
like you really
the whole.
You needed a pen,
yeah.
Is what
I always
needed.
Had a pen because I liked to keep score as a kid.
Did you?
When I went to a game? So my dad, you know, I'd get the program for like a buck. You got the scorecard with it.
I'm gonna start teaching Bo how to keep score. I think that's a good idea. Apparently, there's an update in Kevin Acey's newsletter that's not great, Benjamin.
I have not read the newsletter yet.
Yu Darvish may not make his scheduled start, which would have been tomorrow, I believe.
He would have. I mean, Adam Mazur's turn in the rotation, who was sent down to the minors, comes up tomorrow. So the odds were that Yu Darvish, you said he's good to go, ready to start in the big leagues in his next start after his rehab appearance at Fort Wayne last Wednesday.
Here we go.
The thought was he'd be back tomorrow.
He did not throw his scheduled pre-start bullpen session. His status is up in the air. A source said the reason Darvish did not throw was a different issue than the groin strain that has kept him out since departing his May 29th start after three innings. No one would confirm what the new issue is. All manager Mike Schilt would say yesterday when questioned was, we're going to see what it looks like and have something for you tomorrow,
fantastic.
Which would be today. About his start tomorrow. Does that make sense? Two other club officials offered the following identical answer when asked if Darvish would start tomorrow. Their answer, Ben? Don't know.
Also, don't know who would be a potential option if it wasn't Yu Darvish. Bullpen day tomorrow?
We cannot do a bullpen day, my friend.
I don't know if you're even allowed to. I don't think you're allowed to recall Adam Mazur unless you put someone else on the injured list.
So you would have to go back on the injured list.
Well, he's already on the injured list. So you can't take him off tomorrow. They were going to take him off. But if you don't put someone else on the injured list, you can't recall a player from AAA. So it's possible that he wouldn't be available. You know, you could put someone else on the injured list, I guess, but they'd actually have to be hurt. Teams have gotten into trouble lately for putting players on the injured list who aren't actually hurt.
Just the fact that you can't let him, if he's, just the fact that it's even a question, right? You can't let him throw tomorrow. Right? You can't. Like, if there's something new, if there's a new issue, if it's a re-aggravation, it doesn't sound like
well, it depends on what it is. I mean,
does it? What are we going to do? We're going to do this every 2 weeks?
I mean, it could be a blister. If it's better, then you can throw. If it's not, then you can't. You're not like putting his career in jeopardy or the rest of his season in jeopardy if it's something like a blister or an issue like that. It depends on what the issue is.
I just don't know.
But we don't know. We don't have enough information to really make an informed
it's all speculation.
Opinion at this point.
It's all speculation. But,
like I said, the second half of the season will largely be determined by the direction the Padres' health takes. Okay. If it gets better, things are looking good. If it gets worse, things could be looking quite bad. I'm putting the final touches on our next Take on Woods game, but it's not Take on Steven Woods. It'll be Take on Bo Woods for a chance to win Padres tickets to tomorrow's game. That's coming up in our next segment. Right now, though, let's get some headlines from Pauly and our Randall Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Randall Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Randall Report with Paul Randall.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Randall Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
That was quick, all right. I like that.
Yeah, ready to go on a Monday. We've got a championship Monday, boys. We'll start, how about Game 7? Two best words in sports. Game 7.
Or worse. Depending, if you're a fan of either team, it's the worst day of your life.
Yep. Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7. What more could you ask for?
Who's having a harder time right now?
Got to be Florida.
Edmonton, though, probably getting so close.
All right, put it this way. All of the pressure is on Florida.
I agree. 100%.
I think in Game 4, the pressure's on Edmonton. We can't get swept.
I think that was definitely true the last three games. I think in some ways, it's almost a little freeing now for Florida. Like we've
is
got,
it?
No, I think it's freeing for Edmonton.
I think for Edmonton now they feel some pressure. Like, you don't want to come all the way back from 3-0 to 3-3 and then not win the last game.
Let's do sports radio narratives. We're in Edmonton. And we're like, look, sorry, number one, water. Okay, sorry.
You hoser.
But we ran out of gas. We ran out of gas. It happens. I'm real proud of this
team. Everybody in the world wrote us off after three.
After three, we were dead and buried. I'm sorry, but that's not the case. We ran out of gas. We busted our ass. We tip our hat. You get an auto hat tip if you're the Edmonton Oilers, win or lose tonight. Auto hat tip. You're the Panthers.
You lose today.
No one. I mean, what are they going to devote tomorrow to it in Florida? 14 minutes. The Dolphins are playing at some point.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Put ourselves in the same shoes. Padres.
It'll be a brutal flight if they lose and they have to fly back to Edmonton without the cup. It'll be brutal.
Devastating.
It'll be brutal, but...
But, man,
it won't.
There will be a hero's
there
welcome.
There won't be the historic humiliation that the Florida Panthers are facing. If the Florida Panthers win, it's a footnote. Yes, they got pushed to 7, but they ended up winning the cup. They lose, and they're the first team since 1942 to go up 3-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals and lose it. And one of the only, handful of teams in professional sports history to blow a 3-0 lead. But if they win, that's just, it took us 7. Here's our cup.
The Red Sox have said, they've made those documentaries, One Night in October, whatever, or Seven Night, whatever the hell it was called. they're like, we all had shots of Jack Daniels before the game. Like, we knew,
house money.
Like, that's a different, so if you're Edmonton, but I can't imagine, man, that they're not just, if you're Florida, you're just like, oh my God, let's get this over
Guys,
with.
We have to win this game.
It's just hellish. It's a hellish scenario. But yeah, what time is that game tonight, man?
Puck drops at 5 o'clock on ABC.
Get a little of that before the Pods game? Yeah. Oh my God.
ABC.
Who are you guys rooting
ESPN
for?
Plus.
I want to see the comeback.
Oh yeah, I'm rooting for the comeback.
I want to see the comeback.
I think Edmonton's maybe the... emotional for people without a rooting interest, kind of the emotional choice here.
I'm going to see what the old line says on this bad boy for tonight. Holy
smokes. You know, there is one team that's America, and the other one's a whole nother country. So if you were, you know, a fan of America, wouldn't you want to get Florida
in there? I want to see. I like the three. All right. Yeah, Panthers. Ooh, the Oilers. Oh, it's dead even. -110.
Yeah. Oh, also looking to end the 31-year Stanley Cup drought for the nation of Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Oilers were the team. They started the season horribly, and then they turned it on and went on the long winning streak, the run to get there. This would be very karmically appropriate, where then they started the Stanley Cup looking like they were going to lose and then went on the run.
I love it.
Four
run.
In a row to win it.
Oh, I love a run.
5 o'clock on ABC.
We'd like to be a part of one someday.
I'm just cheering for overtime because there's nothing like game seven overtime in sports in hockey.
There's nothing.
It can end at any moment. It's really fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Well, the hockey starts at 5. The Padres start at 6:40, but there will be more championship baseball to watch at 4 o'clock. That starts on ESPN. That's the Men's College World Series. Tennessee and Texas A&M, that one apiece. Somebody will be crowned College World Series champions tonight on ESPN. You guys been following that series at all?
No.
Okay, good talk.
Yes, I watched Saturday's game one for the most part, and Texas A&M looked very impressive in their game one win. I did not see yesterday's game, Tennessee coming back and evening the series, though. So, but, hey, you know, winner take all. That's another exciting game tonight.
Sure is.
Yes,
I'll watch a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 4 o'clock.
I'll be at a soccer clinic.
You got your phone?
I do.
Neither team has ever won a title.
Oh.
But the SEC always wins now, so. And they're going to win again.
They're going to win again.
This year, too.
Yeah. All right. And then, finally, some snacks. Always good for some snack talk here.
Always down to snack.
I've got a list from eatthis.com. They put out a list of the top 40, the 40 unhealthiest snacks on the planet. We'll start with 10.
I bet you I've got 27 of them.
Like, you've ever eaten them, or you, like, currently have them at your
all
house?
Right, we can do both.
Yes, I would say there's...
I assume we've all at least had one of these, or a few of these, at some point.
Yeah. Well, let's just go with the top 10. We'll start at number 10. Chewy Dips Chocolate Chip Granola Bar. You literally have one in your possession.
Chewy Dips, yep.
It's for my six-year-old, so. Nice work, Mom.
Great parenting.
I thought granola bars were supposed to be healthy.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest misnomers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
So my wife keeps buying the Chewies, and she gets the dips. I don't like the dips. I like the regular Chewy bars. They're delicious.
I like the crunchy oat and honey ones.
I like those, too.
Nature Valley.
I like those, too. Yeah. I'll eat the hell out of those.
Number 9, just your standard Twix candy bar.
Delicious.
All guilty.
Oh, delicious. Delicious. Well, I miss peanut butter Twix so bad.
You expect a candy bar to be unhealthy, right. So that's
correct.
Fine. It's a treat.
Number 8, the Hostess Old Fashioned Donettes.
Oh yeah,
the powdered ones.
Delicious.
Stay away from those. Mm.
You can tell they're unhealthy because they leave this kind of
film
in your mouth when you eat them, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good, but then you've got this...
Yeah,
it's like
stays with you.
Coating inside your mouth, and you know that that's probably like the trans fats or something that just stick there.
Number 7, Max Salt and Vinegar Pork Skins.
Nope, don't eat pork skins anymore.
I hear commercials all the time talking about how pork rinds
are the
healthy. They're keto.
Yeah.
They're good for you. Why not?
Yeah,
I was always skeptical, though, that something made out of pork skin could really be good for you.
I grew up in Texas where they're like required eating. I never liked them, even when I was a kid.
I don't like them at all.
I never did.
They get all that, like, puffy, and they don't really have that much flavor. I feel like
it feels like lard.
They're not good enough for as bad as for you as they are.
But allegedly, they're good for you.
They're not, though. We just found out there's the seventh most unhealthy snack.
That's because of the salt and vinegar.
Number 6, not my favorite, but I'm definitely guilty, Doritos Nacho Cheese.
Delicious.
The red bag.
Delicious.
I like the Cool Ranch.
I like them all.
I've pretty much given up on Doritos. I don't need them.
What?
I just don't need them.
If I'm getting a Jersey Mike's, I got to have some chips next to it. It's usually Cool Ranch.
I do too, but I like salt and vinegar potato chips.
Yeah, I like those as well. Number 5.
Number 5
is the Little Debbie Swiss Roll.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, spongy inside, just delicious.
I don't buy Little Debbie snacks.
Really?
I'm more of a Hostess man myself. Haven't had any of those since SD Fat lost them, so.
Number four.
Number four is Turtle Chex Mix.
Turtle. I haven't had that yet.
And so turtle like caramel and chocolate turtles.
Yep.
No sound.
And they have Chex Mix that's covered in chocolate and caramel.
Mm.
Chex Mix on its own isn't great.
Number
for
three.
You.
Yeah.
Number three, a little surprising. Ritz Bits Cheese Sandwich Crackers. Probably.
I like the peanut butter.
I used to have those
better.
When I was a kid.
Getting them in your lunch.
Ritz Bits. Delicious. I like the peanut butter ones.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Peanut butter is the way to go.
Yep.
Number two.
Number two.
I actually don't know what this is. Smucker's Goober Grape. Is that like the peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
No, it's the peanut butter and jelly mixed together in the thing, in the jar, I think.
Oh, like a little plastic container?
Well, or a jar. You can buy like a jar of peanut butter and jelly
Goober's
together.
Grape.
Goober's Grape.
Jelly Stripes.
Goober's Grape. It's a jar of,
You need to put it
peanut
on
butter
something,
and jelly.
I'm out. You put it on bread.
Well, how is that any different than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
It's not,
though?
Really. It's just probably more sugar and all mixed together, and it's not great.
All right. Ready for number one?
Yeah, number one.
Number
one. Any guesses
one.
On something you haven't heard yet?
Ooh.
Unhealthiest snacks.
Any guesses on unhealthy snacks?
Give me a hint.
It
sweet
is,
or savory?
It's a Little Debbie snack.
Okay. Zingers. I love those.
Ding Dongs are Hostess, right?
Yes.
They are, but it is the Zebra Cakes, the number one
those are bomb.
Unhealthiest snack on the planet. Each Zebra Cake comes with 320 calories, 14 grams of fat, including 8 grams of saturated fat.
Little Debbie's takes a real beating on this list.
150 milligrams of sodium.
Yeah, where are
the Twinkies? I thought were like the worst thing for you, just like... So processed, yep. So many preservatives, like they last 100 years, and nothing but just sugar and fat.
Delicious.
But they didn't make the list, huh?
They did not make the list.
Little Debbie rules, though. The oatmeal pie kicks ass. Little Debbie nutty bars.
The Mott's fruit snacks.
Yeah, those are
coming
bad.
At number 12.
Yeah, those are bad.
Not seeing
try to buy, like, the organic
strawberry
ones.
Pop-Tarts, number 15.
Oh, so good.
And Gushers, number 17.
Somebody said this. Wait. Strawberry Pop-Tarts are like more unhealthy than the ones that are like the brown sugar ones? Those feel like they have to be worse than the strawberry
Hot
ones.
Hot Pockets came in at number 19. There's Twinkies, number 20.
Okay. Right.
20.
Somebody said this list brought to you by Hostess because it's mostly Little Debbie
there's
snacks.
There's a lot of Little Debbie snacks. A lot of Little Debbie.
Thank you, Paulie. Ready to play some Take on Woods again.
Yeah, a whole different edition of Take on Woods. We'll need a contestant if you want to get online during the break and battle Bo Woods.
What are you playing for?
For a chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Padres Nationals game. And it's the Ha-Sung Kim bobblehead game. First 40,000 fans. Going to get a Ha-Sung Kim bobblehead. Go to Padres.com/tickets to win or win them by just knowing more than Bo Woods about your San Diego Padres. Coming up next here, 833-288-0973, and we might need multiple contestants. Who knows? And if the first one doesn't win, we may need backups. So, good luck, 833-288-0973.
Or Bo wins the tickets.
That's a good point, too. We could just do it that way. Call in now, and we'll be right back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Three games remaining on this Padres homestand, all against the Washington Nationals, starting tonight, 6:40, tomorrow 6:40, and then 1:10 on Wednesday afternoon. For the Padres, head back to the East Coast. Got the Boston Red Sox coming up this weekend. We kind of know how this goes, Paulie. Padres went 4-3 ultimately last week. Probably 3-3 in the cards this week.
Oh, yeah.
Still 500 next Monday morning when we show up. Would anyone be shocked by that? I don't think so.
Groundhog Day.
We do have tickets to give away, though, to tomorrow night's game against the Washington Nationals. Again, it's the Ha-Sung Kim bobblehead game. Tickets are available. Padres.com/tickets. But to win, we're going to play a rare and different second edition of Take on Woods. Hit it, Paulie.
It's time for Take on Bo. Woods.
Take on Bo.
Woods. Woods.
All right, that's right. You're not playing against Steven Woods. You're playing against his six-year-old son, Bo Woods, in a game we call Padres by the Numbers. And Neil, welcome. You are a contestant today. Are you excited? Are you nervous?
I'm a bit nervous. I think this is going to be a little more stressful than taking on Mr. Woods.
I would think so. So here are the rules, similar to Take on Woods. You'll go first, then Bo will come in. Instead of music trivia, though, I have some Padres numeric trivia for you. 10 questions, no time. You just I'll give you each one chance at each one. Give us your best answer, and then we'll go through the list. And if you beat or tie Bo, we'll give you the Padres tickets for tomorrow's game. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right, Bo and Steven are outside the studio waiting until we call them back in. All right, so good luck to you. Again, these are Padres by the numbers. So, Neil, here we go. Question number one. What number does Manny Machado wear?
13.
Correct. Which Padres player wears lucky number 7?
Ha-Sung Kim.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 1?
Yuki Matsui.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 2?
Pass.
Which Padres player wears the number 3?
Pass.
What number does pitcher Randy Vasquez wear?
98.
Correct. Which Padres catcher wears the number 20?
Higgy.
Correct. Of David Peralta or Fernando Tatis Jr., who wears the higher number?
Peralta.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 84?
Marhone?
Incorrect. Which Padres player wears the same number Blake Snell wore last season?
Michael King?
No. You did get, let's see, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I believe, of the 10. Is that what you had, Paulie?
Yeah, I don't think that's good enough.
We'll see. All right, 7 of 10. You got, let's see, Manny, 13, Ha-Sung Kim, Yuki Matsui's 1, Xander Bogaerts is number 2. Haven't seen him in a while. Out of sight, out of mind. You have Jackson Merrill's number 3. Did he get Jackson Merrill? You didn't get that one. So you only got 6 of the 8. You got Randy Vasquez, number 98. That was a good one. Kyle Higashioka is number 20. Peralta's 24 and Fernando's 23, so you got that one. Dylan Cease wears number 84. And Luis Arraez, number 4, wears the same number Blake Snell. So 6 is the number here. Let's see. We'll bring Wood. Hang on the line there, Neil. We'll bring back the Woodses. The Woods or the Woodses?
The Woods.
The Woods. The Woods family has returned. Get the headphones on, Bo.
This mic, Paulie?
Yeah. Get to microphone is all set up for him.
Say hi, Bo.
All right. So Neil's score is locked in. Now, Bo, again, just do the best you can with the same 10 questions. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Question number one. What number does Manny Machado wear?
13.
Correct. Which Padres player wears lucky number 7?
Hassan Kim.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 1?
Yuki Matsui.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 2?
Xander Bogaerts.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 3?
Jackson Miller.
Correct. Which number does pitcher Randy Vasquez wear?
Pass.
Which Padres catcher wears the number 20?
Kylie Gashew.
Correct. Of David Peralta or Fernando Tatis Jr., who wears the higher number?
David Peralta.
That is correct. Which Padres player wears the number 84?
Dylan Cease.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the same number Blake Snell wore last season?
Luis Suarez.
Yes! Wow!
Bro, he smoked Neil.
8-6. Bo is our champion. Neil, you know what? I don't want to. Let's give him the tickets anyway.
You give him to Neil?
Yeah,
is that
let's
okay
give him
to
Neil. Just for playing.
Can you want Neil
can
to
can
have
Neil
the tickets,
have your
anyway,
tickets, please?
Even though he lost?
You get to go to
yes.
games with your dad. All
Look
right,
at
Neil.
You.
You're on the air with Bo Woods. If you want to congratulate him, go ahead, Neil. But he got you today.
Congratulations, Bo. Well done. You can thank
me. Thank you.
But just for playing, Neil, Bo's going to give you his tickets.
Look at that. You gave him your
to the Padres
Neil,
game
just hang
for,
on the line
for tomorrow.
Minute.
So
for
generous.
Tomorrow night. So, Neil, hang on the line. Paulie, I'll get your information. Well
I mean,
done,
Neil
Bo.
Did pretty good, and I go, yeah. but he missed a couple. I go, oh, Bo's got this.
So I was very impressed, especially the last question, which required a logical step
yes.
of remembering what number Blake Snell wore, and then correlating that to this year's roster and another new player in number 4.
It's unbelievable. We play Take on Woods in the car with music, too, and he's really, really, really good at it. So the next generation of music and sports trivia is here. Man, you crushed it.
Way to go, Bo.
Your mama's listening. You want to say anything to her? Say hi, Mom. No, all right.
By the way,
sorry,
Bo was not given any of those questions in
no,
advance.
No, absolutely
at
not.
All. I did know that he had some knowledge of some Padres, but I tried to keep it, mix it up to make sure he didn't have any idea what was coming. So.
Yeah, what a gracious
very
winner.
Good job.
Say hi to your mama out there. Say hi, Mama.
Hi, Mama.
Sweet baby.
All right, we got one segment left. We'll come back. We can talk about this series again against the Washington Nationals, including tonight's matchup. Padres trying to get off to a fast start. Don't let one loss snowball into another, you know, 4-game losing streak coming up here. We'll get to that before Annie and Elston coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, Bo Woods is the talk of the chat, and his performance, very impressive in Take on Bo Woods in our last segment. Going to be remembered for quite some time.
Slayed it, man. Is that fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, you crushed it.
Good job. Would have done better than I could have done.
Dude, I know.
I've never been.
Me neither.
Being a sports guy, I just have never been the uniform number guy.
I know.
It's just not something that I necessarily. I mean, obviously, you know, some of the big ones.
Sure, but yeah, of course.
The in-depth on the numbers, no, never been my
there
forte.
There are people out there, though, that like you could just go 1 through 50 and they'll,
oh, yeah.
just, they'll name some very notable player that wore number
Chris Ello is amazing at
yeah,
that
yeah.
game.
I've never been good at that either.
In college, we had a coffee table book that was like sports by the numbers or whatever.
Yeah.
Every page, it was like number one, and it just showed all the big
all
athletes.
The number ones.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm not wired that way.
Me neither.
You know, putting that together, I realized that two of the oddest numbers on the team are very significant because 84 and 98 are the two, you know, significant seasons in Padres history. They're World Series years. Of course, it's the 40-year anniversary of the 1984 World Series, and Dylan Cease comes in wearing 84 this year. And then 98 is Randy Vasquez's number, and he had a nice start over the weekend. I think everyone was like, okay, I'm tired of Randy Vasquez in the starting rotation. Pitched 5, not perfect, but shutout innings, and got a win, which Padres have been few and far between for their starting pitchers lately in getting, you know, full 5 innings. And Randy Vasquez was able to at least do that when he got his opportunity over the weekend, so on Saturday.
Yeah.
You saw, you were
there. I was
that
there.
Year game
I mean,
he pitched. I mean, you know, it wasn't great, but
it was fine. I mean, it's,
he got out of some trouble. Kyle Higashioka threw out Bryce Strang twice at second base.
He had not been thrown out this season. And Higgy got him twice. Higgy's been great, man. Hit a bomb that day, too. I mean,
he has 5 home runs in the month of June.
Yeah.
I mean, don't, with Luis Camposano getting hurt, Kyle Higashioka has stepped up at the time that the Padres have needed him to step up the most.
No question.
You know, he had that stretch where he went like 0 for 20 earlier in the season, and that was with only playing, you know, once or twice a week at most. But lately, he's been an absolute critical part of the Padres team, and defensively, he's superior to Luis Conte.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And he'll be in there tonight catching Waldron, and, you know, hopefully Matty goes out and has another really, really good outing tonight. We need it. You know, Matt Waldron as your stopper, he's been very effective, Ben, his last 8 starts or something ridiculous. So keep it rolling.
And we'll talk about that matchup and Matt Waldron as the stopper right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So Matt Waldron really has already been the stopper lately. He's the one Padres pitcher over this last, you know, 3 to 4 weeks who's been consistently going deeper into games when everyone else has struggled to put more than 5 innings together. He's getting into the 7th, you know, he's pitching through 7 and limiting the opposition to, you know, like a single run per game, essentially, over his last, like, 6 outings. And now he has the opportunity to go out there and not stop a losing streak, which he's done, but this time he's just trying to nip it in the bud at 1. And that's something the Padres Woods have not done well this year. Once they lose one, usually they let it snowball into 3 or 4, 4 out of 5, and they've yet to been able... The reason they haven't been able to make ground is not that they haven't gone on short winning streaks. They have. They've won 4 in a row twice. They've won 3 in a row a bunch of times. But once they lose, they always give it right back with losing 3 in a row, losing 4 of 5. What you need to do to make hay is when you have that 3 or 4 game winning streak and you lose one, which is inevitable, then you go back and you start another one. 3, 4, 4 out of 5 right after it. Matt Waldron has a chance to put them at least first step on doing that for the really first time all season if he can win tonight's game against the Washington Nationals.
And, of course, Patrick Corbin's going to be on the bump. His surface numbers, 1-7, 5.60 ERA, started 15 games for them, 82 innings pitched, doesn't strike out a ton of guys. His whip is 1.60. I mean, his sliders, they're all blue. I mean, it's all the blue except for, oh, God, no, not this one. Ground ball percentage is over 67, which is good. And extension, what does that mean? His extension, no idea. That's high as well, which is in the red.
I think that was the contract extension that they gave him that they're regretting for several years ago.
Extension regret is what that is? Then it should be higher. It should be much higher. But he's a 5-pitch pitcher, man. He's going to throw the sinker, the slider, the cutter, the 4-seamer, and the changeup. But he's mostly sinker slider. And those are the guys where those are the kind of guys where, you know, you got to be careful beating it into the ground all night. But you know, again, it's a guy you should beat. It's a guy you should you know, that this is a team you should beat at least 2 out of 3. And you know, see what happens tonight. But guys got to keep playing well, and I know they're banged up, but hey, like Jackson Merrill said, man, they got to step up. They're going to be facing 3 lefties. It has not been pretty. Gives me a lot of heartburn thinking about this series against 3 lefties with the Nats.
Now, offensively, The concern remains, although it's a different concern right now for the Padres. You've got Jackson Merrill has been red hot. Jake Cronenworth, I haven't really even mentioned Jake.
Oh my God,
his 5 for 5 performance,
woo,
career high. You know, he, after a bit of a slump, he, you know, looks like he's starting to swing the bat well again. I do feel like Manny is not quite there yet, but starting to slowly kind of come back in the right direction. But you don't know whether we're going to see Tatis or not. I feel like Peralta and Solano have both showed some flashes. Solano especially has been better than Peralta, but both of them have been struggling, I think, a little bit more lately. And your DH position remains a big question mark now. You know, at least one of those guys needs to get going. So the question marks are just kind of moving around the Padres lineup,
yeah,
back and forth with different people.
It's the dam.
Yeah,
you
a
know,
little bit.
It's the dam, and you plug one, and another one pops. And yeah, with this
Arise had a couple hits yesterday. He had been I mean, Ferrari's slumping, which means, you know, only one hit every game or so, not two, but he got two yesterday. Hopefully he can have one of those three or four hit games. That would go a long way toward, you know, staking the Padres to some offense that they need against a guy like Patrick Corbin, who gives up plenty of hits. I mean, guy gives up like 10, 12 hits a lot of times. You're just hoping you can turn those into runs.
Yeah, and, you know, power surge for this team lately. They're hitting a lot of home runs at Petco Park. I mean, the weather is warm. They're you know.
Yesterday ended the streak of how many straight games they hit a home run?
A bunch, yeah. Man. They had hit a ton. So this is what you need, man. This is what you need. You got to take Patrick Corbin deep. You got to score a lot of runs off of him. And really, I mean, you know, the well-rested bullpen today for the guys as well. But Matt Waldron goes into the seventh inning, you know, seemingly every start. So knock on wood that continues. And whew, boy, see what happens.
I'd like to see just the normal Robert Suarez usage at some point.
That would be good. That would be really good.
You know, again, you can't dictate, you know, when you have your one, two, or three run leads. But for some reason, the Padres either need Robert Suarez 5 days in a row, or they don't need him 8 days in a row. And it's just be nice if they could spread it out a little bit. Like you need him, you know, today, but not tomorrow, and then the next day would be great. Just a little more regular usage for Robert Suarez without the over usage that they've had to ask from him a couple of times over the course of the season. But he should be rested now. You know, he asked for that day off when Estrada went in. They got the late win in that game, the walk off, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then they had
and now they haven't needed him again since then.
Yeah, they did. He had to come in and clean up Brito's mess.
He had to pitch the one batter when Brito couldn't hold the lead.
I was at the game
Saturday.
Always fun to see Robert Suarez up close, but definitely did not want to have to use him in that game. But when you give up a grand slam to make it 6-4, I have no problem with Mike Schilt going to Robert Suarez for that out.
By the way, that grand slam was the weirdest swing I have ever seen on a home run.
It made no sense whatsoever.
I did no thought when it left the bat that was going to be probably even a fair ball in anywhere. It's certainly not one that went over the wall. I mean, it was literally a choked up half swing that somehow flew all the way to the Western Metal Supply Company.
Any hits with that giant Jeff McNeil knob piano leg bat? It was not pretty, but it worked. It worked, so yeah, man. Nice to take three or four from those guys. I mean, really, and you played them really well. I mean, got down and came back in game one, and you know, Saturday was really. I know it was 6-4 is how it ended, but you never felt that game was really out of your hands. You know, Johnny Brito came in yesterday, had a nice bounce back, Ben, and just tough for Schilt right now, knowing what buttons to push. But it is nice that the guys are rested, you know, going into this series against the Nats. And it should set you up nicely. If things go to plan, as they have with Matt Waldron when he's on the mound, should be another restful night for the Padres bullpen, knock on wood.
We talked about it earlier, but this is the last series of the very long stretch of 26 games in 27 days for the Padres. They will have an off day on Thursday, travel day as they head to Boston for a three-game set against the Red Sox this weekend. Then it's an off day on Monday before they have to travel halfway back across the country to face the Texas Rangers next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then they finish at home until the All-Star break with a three-team homestand against the Diamondbacks, two against the Mariners, and three against the Atlanta Braves. So they've got just six more series before the All-Star break, and then, you know, second half of the season will be here. But this is kind of the time where if you take your foot off the gas, you can find yourself with a really uphill climb after the All-Star break. Or if you put your foot down, you know, your pedal down to the floor here, you can go into the All-Star break with a little bit of breathing room, or at least, you know, feeling like, you know, get like four or five games above 500 just in these next 3 weeks would be such a great way to go into the All-Star break and really feel confident before the trading deadline. You know, we've been saying this all year long, but there's just every portion of the schedule seems to have that key element for the Padres this year. And I'm looking at these last six series is you know, pretty pivotal for the Padres before the All-Star break.
Yeah, 100%. So Purple in the chat let me know that extension, Ben, we were asking about that on the Savant page. It's how much closer a pitcher's release point is to home plate. So Patrick Corbin has good extension towards home plate, meaning maybe the ball gets on you a little faster, a little tough to pick up, something like that.
So, yeah. So he's got plastic man. Good. Would have like the best extension
Randy,
possible.
I wonder what Randy Johnson's
very
extension
good
was.
And well, that's not the be all end all. the closer you are to home plate when you release it, the less time the batter has to react.
Exactly right.
So the taller, the lankier you are, the like Bob Scanlon probably had pretty good extension thing.
You know what I'm going to look up real quick while I've got this open here? I'm going to look up Dylan Cease's extension. Of course, I can't find it. Here it is. Oh, very, very. He does the short arm bit. He pulls it here.
You saw that.
Yeah,
you could tell.
Of course, yeah. We're watching the game going, oh, yeah, he's got the short arm, you know, and that's the way he throws. And somehow he's able to throw 97, 98 miles an hour with it. But, yeah, his extension is way low, Benny.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd rather throw 98 without extension than throw 89 with extension.
Sure.
But,
yep.
You know, combine them both and it becomes even tougher.
Yep.
For the opposition
right,
to
so
hit.
That's just a good you know, dichotomy of what that number actually means. So you learn something new every day. Even we do, most days.
Yeah, and by the way, Dylan Cease didn't throw poorly his last time out. He kind of had the same as Michael King and, you know, didn't pitch badly, had the one inning that just got away last start, but otherwise was pretty sharp in his last outing.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
But ultimately, both guys, you know, the two key additions to the Padres' starting rotation, Dylan Cease and Michael King, are what, 500, 6-6, and 5-5.
Yep.
And ultimately, if you're trying to win games, how fitting. And the Padres are 41-41. Just the up and down nature of this season for the team.
Yep. All right. Well, get the dub tonight. Come back in here tomorrow with good.
By the way, if Waldron gets the win tonight, he'll be 6-6.
Jesus, can, such a mid team.
Can anyone escape the 500-ness of the San Diego Padres? Is the question.
Only they can change that narrative. They're the only ones that can change that narrative and go out and beat the friggin' Nationals and Patrick Corbin and his 6 ERA almost. But yeah, man, these are the games traditionally this year that, you know, if you don't buck the trend. These are the games that make you insane.
I mean,
as a fan. Insane.
This is so typical, but you look at the two rosters, you look at Padres versus the Nationals,
yes.
And you go, Padres are clearly the better team. But then you look at the standings, and they're essentially the same team. The Nationals are half a game behind the San Diego Padres. There's really been no difference between the play of those two teams. Now, the Nationals give up fewer runs, but score fewer runs. But other than that, you know, they've basically for half a season kept pace with the San Diego Padres. So any other thought that the Padres should beat this team is misplaced.
It's kind of out the window, to be honest with you. It really is kind of out the window when you're talking about the San Diego Padres and what should happen and what actually will happen.
Now, again, the lefty thing
brutal.
Is a concern here for the Padres in
yep.
this series. The fact that they, what is it, 18, you said, Pauly, straight games? The an ERA of like 1 point something?
Like 1.64 or
even,
something?
Even teams that struggle badly. As Sammy had that one. Even teams that struggle badly. It's got to be an outlier somewhere.
Right.
I mean, the Padres could be the worst team against lefties all year long. They're going to have a game where they score 8 against
right.
a lefty somewhere.
One would think. And if it wasn't Jose Quintana, it better be Patrick Corbin, for the love of
God.
It's
got to be Patrick Corbin.
It's just a streak, like all streaks in baseball.
It's got to come to an end.
It's got to come to an end at some point. Doesn't even have to be a sign of things to come.
No!
At some
just
point.
Just tonight.
You go out and you just win one easily against a left-handed pitcher.
Oh.
It can't continue forever like this. Why
can't
not today?
Well, fun show, boys. Bo, thanks for filling in today. You did a great job.
Will he be back tomorrow, all week long?
No, he's got SEALs camp tomorrow. His
oh,
first
wow.
first time trying lacrosse, so he's really excited. We got to go home today, get him in all the gear, make sure it all fits and everything. And yeah, he's going to be out there with Westberg and Cam Holding and all the SEALs. It's going
to
be awesome.
All right, fun start to the week. Annie and Elston are coming up next. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Enjoy the game tonight. For Pauly Reindl.
Just give me a little Hawk Tua to get out of here.
For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great Hawk Tua kind of day from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. Bo Woods is the talk of the chat, and his performance, very impressive in take on Bo Woods in our last segment. Going to be remembered for quite some time.
Slayed it, man. Is that fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, you crushed it.
Good job. Would have done better than I could have done.
I've
never been.
Me neither.
Being a sports guy, I just have never been the uniform number guy.
I know.
It's just not something that I necessarily. I mean, obviously, you know, some of the big ones.
Sure, yeah, of course.
The in-depth on the numbers, No, never been my
forte. There are people out there, though, that like you could just go 1 through 50, and they'll name some very notable player that wore number
Chris Ello is amazing at that game.
I've never been good at that either.
In college, we had a coffee table book that was like sports by the numbers or whatever.
Yeah.
Every page, it was like number one, and it just showed all the big
athletes.
All
the number ones.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm not wired that way.
Me neither.
You know, putting that together, I realized that two of the oddest numbers on the team are very significant because 84 and 98 are the two, you know, significant seasons in Padres history. They're World Series years. Of course, it's the 40-year anniversary of the 1984 World Series, and Dylan Cease comes in wearing 84 this year. And then 98 is Randy Vasquez's number, and he had a nice start over the weekend. I think everyone was like, okay, I'm tired of Randy Vasquez in the starting rotation. Pitched five, not perfect, but shutout innings and got a win, which Padres have been few and far between for their starting pitchers lately in getting, you know, full five innings. And Randy Vasquez was able to at least do that when he got his opportunity over the weekend. So on Saturday.
Yeah.
You saw you were there.
I was there.
Game pitched. I mean, you know, it wasn't great, but
it was fine. I mean, it's
he got out of some trouble. Kyle Higashioka threw out two Bryce Strang twice at second base.
He had not been thrown out this season. And Higgy got him twice. Higgy's been great, man. Hit a bomb that day too. I mean,
his five home runs in the month of June.
Yeah.
I mean, with Luis Camposano getting hurt, Kyle Higashioka has stepped up at the time that the Padres have needed him to step up the
most. No question.
You know, he had that stretch where he went like 0 for 20 earlier in the season, and that was with only playing, you know, once or twice a week at most. But lately, he's been an absolute critical part of the Padres team, and defensively, he's superior to Luis Camposano.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And he'll be in there tonight catching Waldron, and you know, hopefully Matty goes out and has another really, really good outing tonight. We need it. You know, Matt Waldron as your stopper, he's been very effective, Ben, his last eight starts or something ridiculous. So keep it rolling.
And we'll talk about that matchup and Matt Waldron as the stopper right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So Matt Waldron really has already been the stopper lately. He's the one Padres pitcher over this last, you know, three to 4 weeks who's been consistently going deeper into games when everyone else has struggled to put more than five innings together. He's getting into the seventh, you know, he's pitching through seven and limiting the opposition to, you know, like a single run per game, essentially, over his last, like, six outings. And now he has the opportunity to go out there and not stop a losing streak, which he's done. But this time, he's just trying to nip it in the bud at one. And that's something the Padres Woods have not done well this year. Once they lose one, usually they let it snowball into three or four, or four out of five. And they've yet to been able... The reason they haven't been able to make ground is not that they haven't gone on short winning streaks. They have. They've won four in a row twice. They've won three in a row a bunch of times. But once they lose, they always give it right back with losing three in a row, losing four of five. What you need to do to make hay is when you have that three or four game winning streak and you lose one, which is inevitable, then you go back and you start another one. Three, four out of five right after it. Matt Waldron has a chance to put them at least first step on doing that for the really first time all season if he can win tonight's game against the Washington Nationals.
And, of course, Patrick Corbin's going to be on the bump. His surface numbers, 1-7, 5.60 ERA, started 15 games for them, 82 innings pitched, doesn't strike out a ton of guys. His whip is 1.60. I mean, his sliders, they're all blue. I mean, it's all in the blue, except for, oh, God, no, not this one. Ground ball percentage is over 67, which is good. And extension, what does that mean? His extension. No idea. That's high as well, which is in the red.
I think that was the contract extension that they gave him that they're regretting several years ago.
Extension regret is what that is? Then it should be higher. It should be much higher. But he's a five-pitch pitcher, man. He's going to throw the sinker, the slider, the cutter, the four-seamer, and the changeup. But he's mostly sinker-slider. And those are the guys where those are the kind of guys where, you know, you got to be careful beating it into the ground all night. But you know, again, it's a guy you should beat. It's a guy you should, you know, that this is a team you should beat at least two out of three. And, you know, see what happens tonight. But guys got to keep playing well. And I know they're banged up, but hey, like Jackson Merrill said, man, they got to step up. They're going to be facing three lefties. It has not been pretty. Gives me a lot of heartburn thinking about this series against three lefties with the Nats.
Now, offensively, the concern remains, although it's a different concern right now for the Padres. You've got Jackson Merrill has been red hot. Jake Cronenworth, I haven't really even mentioned Jake.
Oh my God, five for five
performance, career high. You know, he after a bit of a slump, he you know looks like he's starting to swing the bat well again. I do feel like Manny is not quite there yet, but starting to slowly
much better.
Kind of come back in the right direction. But you don't know what whether we're going to see Tatis or not. I feel like Peralta and Solano have both showed some flashes. Solano especially has been better than Peralta, but both of them have been struggling, I think, a little bit more lately. And your DH position remains a big question mark now. You know, at least one of those guys needs to get going. So the question marks are just kind of moving around the Padres lineup back and forth with different people.
It's the dam.
Yeah,
you know,
a little bit.
It's the dam, and you plug one, and another one pops. And yeah, with this
Arraez had a couple hits yesterday. He had been, I mean, for Arraez slumping, which means, you know, only one hit every game or so, not two. But he got two yesterday. Hopefully he can have one of those three or four hit games. That would go a long way toward, you know, staking the Padres to some offense that they need against a guy like Patrick Corbin, who gives up plenty of hits. I mean, a guy gives up like 10, 12 hits a lot of times. You're just hoping you can turn those into runs.
Yeah, and, you know, power surge for this team lately. They're hitting a lot of home runs at Petco Park. I mean, the weather is warm. They're you know,
yesterday ended the streak of how many straight games did they hit a home run?
A bunch, yeah. Man. They had hit a ton. So this is what you need, man. This is what you need. You got to take Patrick Corbin deep. You got to score a lot of runs off of him. And really, I mean, you know, the well-rested bullpen today for the guys as well. But Matt Waldron goes into the seventh inning, you know, seemingly every start. So knock on wood that continues. And whew, boy, see what happens.
I'd like to see just the normal Robert Suarez usage at some point.
That would be good. That would be really good.
You know, again, you can't dictate, you know, when you have your one, two, or three run leads. But for some reason, the Padres either need Robert Suarez 5 days in a row, or they don't need him 8 days in a row. And it's just be nice if they could spread it out a little bit. Like you need him, you know, today, but not tomorrow, and then the next day would be great. Just a little more regular usage for Robert Suarez without the over usage that they've had to ask from him a couple of times over the course of the season. But he should be rested now. You know, he asked for that day off when Estrada went in. They got the late win in that game, the walk off, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And then they had
and now they haven't needed him again since then.
Yeah, they did. He had to come in and clean up Brito's mess.
Right. He had to pitch the one batter when Brito couldn't hold the lead.
I was at the game
Saturday.
Always fun to see Robert Suarez up close, but definitely did not want to have to use him in that game. But when you give up a grand slam to make it 6-4, I have no problem with Mike Schilt going to Robert Suarez for that out.
By the way, that grand slam was the weirdest swing I have ever seen on a home run.
It made no sense whatsoever.
I did no thought when it left the bat that was going to be probably even a fair ball in anywhere. It's certainly not one that went over the wall. I mean, it was literally a choked up half swing that somehow flew all the way to the Western Metal Supply Company.
Any hits with that giant Jeff McNeil knob piano leg bat? It was not pretty, but it worked. It worked. So, yeah, man, nice to take three or four from those guys. I mean, really, and you played them really well. I mean, got down and came back in game one. And, you know, Saturday was really, I know it was 6-4 is how it ended, but you never felt that game was really out of your hands. You know, Johnny Brito came in yesterday, had a nice bounce back, Ben, and just tough for Schilt right now, knowing what buttons to push. But it is nice that the guys are rested, you know, going into this series against the Nats. And it should set you up nicely. If things go to plan, as they have with Matt Waldron when he's on the mound, should be another restful night for the Padres bullpen, knock on wood.
We talked about it earlier, but this is the last series of the very long stretch of 26 games in 27 days for the Padres. They will have an off day on Thursday, a travel day as they head to Boston for a three-game set against the Red Sox this weekend. Then it's an off day on Monday before they have to travel halfway back across the country to face the Texas Rangers next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then they finish at home until the All-Star break with a three-team homestand against the Diamondbacks, two against the Mariners, and three against the Atlanta Braves. So they've got just six more series before the All-Star break, and then, you know, second half of the season will be here. But this is kind of the time where if you take your foot off the gas, you can find yourself with a really uphill climb after the All-Star break. Or if you put your foot down, you know, your pedal down to the floor here, you can go into the All-Star break with a little bit of breathing room, or at least, you know, feeling like, you know, get like four or five games above 500 just in these next 3 weeks would be such a great way to go into the All-Star break and really feel confident before the trading deadline. You know, we've been saying this all year long, but there's just every portion of the schedule seems to have that key element for the Padres this year. And I'm looking at these last six series as you know, pretty pivotal for the Padres before the All-Star break.
Yeah, 100%. So Purple in the chat let me know that extension, Ben, we were asking about that on the Savant page. It's how much closer a pitcher's release point is to home plate. So Patrick Corbin has good extension towards home plate, meaning maybe the ball gets on you a little faster, a little tough to pick up, something like that.
So, yeah. So he's got plastic man. Good. Would have, like, the best extension
Randy,
possible.
I wonder what Randy Johnson's
very
extension
good.
Was.
And while that's not the be-all, end-all, the closer you are to home plate when you release it, the less time the batter has to react.
Exactly right.
So the taller, the lankier you are, the like Bob Scanlon probably had pretty good extension thing.
You know what I'm going to look up real quick while I've got this open here? I'm going to look up Dylan Cease's extension. Of course I can't find it. There it is. Oh, very, very. He does the short arm bit. He pulls it here.
You saw that.
Yeah,
you could tell.
Of course. Yeah, watching the game going, oh, yeah, he's got the short arm, you know, and that's the way he throws. And somehow is able to throw 97, 98 miles an hour with it. But yeah, his extension is way low, Benny.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd rather throw 98 without extension than throw 89 with extension.
Sure.
But,
yep.
You know, combine them both and it becomes even tougher
yep.
for the opposition
right,
to
so
hit.
That's just a good, you know, dichotomy of what that number actually means. So he learns something new every day. Even we do most days.
Yeah, and by the way, Dylan Cease didn't throw poorly his last time out. He kind of had the same as Michael King and, you know, didn't pitch badly, had the one inning that just got away
yeah, man,
in his last start, but otherwise was pretty sharp in his last outing.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
But ultimately, both guys, you know, the two key additions to the Padres starting rotation, Dylan Cease and Michael King are, what, 500, 6-6, and 5-5?
Yep.
And ultimately, if you're trying to win games, how fitting. And the Padres are 41-41. Just the up and down nature of this season for the team.
Yep. All right. Well, get the dub tonight. Come back in here tomorrow with good
vibes. By the way, if Waldron gets the win tonight, he'll be 6-6.
Jesus, can, such a mid team.
Can anyone escape the 500-ness of the San Diego Padres is the question.
Only they can change that narrative. They're the only ones that can change that narrative and go out and beat the friggin' Nationals and Patrick Corbin and his 6 ERA almost. But yeah, man, these are the games traditionally this year that, you know, if you don't buck the trend, these are the games that make you insane.
This is so typical, but you look at the two rosters, you look at Padres versus the Nationals,
yes.
And you go, Padres are clearly the better team. But then you look at the standings, and they're essentially the same team. The Nationals are half a game behind the San Diego Padres. There's really been no difference between the play of those two teams. Now, the Nationals give up fewer runs but score fewer runs. But other than that, you know, they've basically, for half a season, kept pace with the San Diego Padres. So any other thought that the Padres should beat this team is misplaced.
It's kind of out the window, to be honest with you. It really is kind of out the window when you're talking about the San Diego Padres and what should happen and what actually will happen.
Now, again, the lefty thing
brutal.
Is a concern here for the Padres in
yep.
this series. The fact that they, what is it, 18, you said, Pauly, straight games? An ERA of like 1 point something?
Like 1.64 or
even,
something?
Even teams that struggle badly, as Sammy had that one, it's got to be an outlier somewhere.
Right.
I mean, the Padres could be the worst team against lefties all year long. They're going to have a game where they score eight against a lefty somewhere.
One would think. And if it wasn't Jose Quintana, it better be Patrick Corbin, for the love
it's
of God.
Be Patrick Corbin.
It's just a streak, like all streaks in baseball.
Got to come to an end.
It's got to come to an end at some point. Doesn't even have to be a sign of things to come.
No!
At some
just
point,
tonight,
you go out and you just win one easily against a left-handed pitcher. Oh. It can't continue forever like this. Why not today?
Well, fun show, boys. Bo, thanks for filling in today. You did a great job.
Will he be back tomorrow, all week long?
No, he's got SEALs camp tomorrow. His first time trying lacrosse, so he's really excited. We got to go home today, get him in all the gear, make sure it all fits and everything. And, yeah, he's going to be out there with Westberg and Cam Holding and all the SEALs. It's going to be awesome.
All right, fun start to the week. Annie and Elston are coming up next. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Enjoy the game tonight. For Paulie Reindel,
just give me a little Hawk Tua to get out of here.
For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great Hawk Tua kind of day from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.